Well, good morning, friends, and welcome back to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you today. I hope you're having an amazing Friday and great start to your last work week. And I know in today's society, all of that looks so different for everybody, but we are going to continue on our series today of the supernatural world and angels and demons and how all of that applies to our lives. And I'm going to start today with a very simple reminder that we live in a supernatural world, right? Not just a world of clocks and commutes to our jobs and calendars, but a world populated by unseen spiritual beings the Bible calls angels and demons. And today we're going to shift our focus a little bit because we've been looking at a lot about, you know, what happens with, you know, the rebellion and how did Satan become Satan and where did the demonic come from and all of that other stuff. And I, again, believe that that is essential for us to understand because it helps us understand what's going on in the unseen world. It helps us in our warfare. It helps us in our prayer, all of that. But today I want to shift our focus a little bit, and I want to begin to talk about angels, right? So we've kind of figured out how the, you know, demons got here, the structure of all that, the, you know, so let's just shift our focus a little bit today. So angels, who they are, what they do, and why that matters for your walk with Jesus right now, right? So before we dive in, here's kind of our roadmap. First, we will set a biblical guardrail so we stay grounded in truth. Why? Because many people will take a doctrine of demon, or excuse me, a doctrine of angels, and suddenly start magnifying angels or praying to angels or exalting angels, and that's absolutely not biblical. So we want to guard over that. Second, we're going to look at 11 things scriptures teach us about angels. And then finally, we'll close with three ways you can live wisely and confidently in the light of this supernatural reality. So let's start with that guardrail. Angels are real. They're powerful. They're active. But they are not the point, right? They are not the focus. Colossians says, do not let anyone lead you into the worship of angels. Our devotion belongs to Jesus alone, him and only him. Hebrews 1 verse 14 reminds us, not all angels, ministering spirits are sent, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So that's you, believer. Angels serve, Jesus saves. Angels assist, but Jesus reigns, right? So we do not take our eyes off of Jesus. Angels are sent to serve us. They are sent by God. They are sent to perform his word, right? But they are not the focus. Jesus saves. Jesus reigns. We keep our eyes fixed on him alone. So I want to now take us into those biblical truths about the angels, 11 of them. Number one, angels worship God. Angels worship God. Revelations chapter 4 and 5 show us countless angels surrounding the throne. And what are they doing? We talked about this, I think, in a little bit in week one or day one or two. But angels surround the throne and they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. They never grow tired. Why? Because his worth never changes. When you worship, you're joining that same eternal chorus, though the words might be different. It's joining that same eternal chorus. Just think about that for a minute. When we worship God, we're joining those forces and those voices of heaven in declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worship is not starting something. It's joining what heaven is already doing. So angels, number one, angels worship God. Number two, angels are warriors. Psalms 103, I believe it is, calls them mighty ones who do his word. We looked at that a little bit in Daniel over the last several days, where the angel was delayed for those 21 days, if you remember, by the Prince of Persia, a demonic ruler, until Michael came to help. So that's not a myth. That's the unseen realm. There are real battles over nations and regions and people. As we talked about yesterday, you don't need to fear that, but you do need to be aware of it. So number three, angels protect God's people. Angels protect God's people. Psalm 91, my favorite verse of scripture, says he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Elijah's servant panicked when he saw enemy armies, but God opened his eyes and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. You may never see it, but you are never unprotected. You remember Elijah's story? It was the host of God's armies. It's like for a minute, the Lord opened the enemy's eyes, or Elijah's eyes, sorry, and he saw what he was really surrounded by. You may never see it, but you are never unprotected. Heaven's defense system is active currently around your life. I always picture it as Israel's dome or shield or whatever they have, that system that when a missile comes in, like before it can even intercept, it's seen in the dome and it's shot down. It's almost like that's how I see the angels, you know, protecting around my life. It's like, you know, before it might get shot, the arrow from the enemy might get shot my way, but come on, before it's ever even in the atmosphere, we've got warfare over it. We've got angels fighting against it. We've got heavenly host of armies surrounding us. I just want us to get that picture, because so many times we walk into circumstances and we think we are alone. We think we're by ourselves. We think that we have to handle it all. But when you really understand what's going on around you, what's happening in the unseen world, then you understand that I don't go alone. I don't walk by myself. That's right. Tanisha says, our God never sleeps nor slumbers. That's right, Tanisha. He's always guarding, always protecting, always sending his angels, giving them command. We may not see it, but we are never unprotective. Heaven's defense system is active around your life. So come on, that's good. Number four, angels observe us. First Peter says, angels long to look into the mystery of salvation. Ephesians 3 says, God's wisdom is revealed to rulers and authority in heavenly places through the church. That means your everyday faithfulness, your honesty, your compassion, your prayer life is preaching to angels about the wisdom of God. Heaven watches how you and I live. Come on, I think that's both humbling and empowering. Heaven is watching how you and I live. Every decision that we make, every word that we speak. You know, the Bible says that we will be held accountable for those decisions that we've made in our life, what we've done with our time. And so it's just that reminder that sometimes, you know, we think, well, you know, I'm going to sin. I'm going to do this. And it doesn't affect anybody but me. That's the lie of the enemy. That's what he perpetrates on the world. Do you live your life? It doesn't matter to anybody but you. We know that to be a lie of the adversary. Why? Heaven is watching. Angels are watching. And one day we will be held accountable for every action and deed and word said in this life. So it's just that reminder to me that, you know, whenever you're tempted, whenever, you know, you feel that pull, whenever you want to gossip, whenever you know, want to start that negativity, whenever you want to watch something you ought not be watching, come on, you got to be reminded. Heaven's watching. Angels are watching. They watch how we live. They watch how we interact. So come on, just as you never fight alone, you never stand alone. The fact of the matter is, I like it what David said, should I rise to the uttermost parts of the earth? Guess what? You're there. Should I settle on the furthest side of the sea? Guess what? You're there. So just always be reminded, right, that there's an audience watching. There's a God watching. There's heavenly host watching what you and I do in this life. Come on, that's humbling and that's empowering. That should make us want to rise up, make right decisions, rise up and impact our world, rise up and preach the gospel to every ear and creature that we possibly can. Why? Because it's humbling in the fact that what we do with our time on the earth. It's like, I see like heaven, like almost watching, you know, as people are hurting in this world and they're making wrong decisions and it's ruining their lives and they're dying and they're going to hell. And it's like, you know, and heaven's watching the church. They're watching our lives and they're like, you know, we're occupied with Netflix and everything else. And there's a whole culture out there dying. And I'm not saying Netflix is wrong. Don't hear my heart on that. But do you understand what I'm saying? It motivates me to say, Lord, what can I do with the time I'm given? How can I impact every person I come in contact with? Why? Because it's not just me. It's heavenly armies watching. It's God watching. So angels are watching. Number five. I know I'm moving through these. I'm trying to move through these quick because I got 11 of them. Number five, angels deliver God's messages. We can see through this all throughout scripture. Gabriel spoke to Mary. An angel spoke to Zechariah. Acts chapter 27, an angel stood beside Paul in a violent storm and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul." So God can lead you by his word, his spirit, his people, and yes, sometimes by his angels. Now, again, I want to put those barriers up because we don't seek angels. We don't seek, say, "Wow, where's my angel? Can I see my angel?" We don't seek it. We seek God. They are created beings by God. We keep our eyes and our focus on God, but we stay open to every way he chooses to speak. Number six, angels open doors and direct our steps. I'm so grateful for this. Acts chapter 5, an angel opens the prison doors and tells the apostles, "Go and stand in the temple and tell the people about this new life." We see again in Acts chapter 8, an angel tells Philip, "Go south to the desert road," and revival ends up breaking out. So sometimes God leading is spectacular and, you know, all these things, but often it's simple. But either way, whether it's spectacular, whether it's through an angel visitation, or whether it's through a simple quiet knowing, whether it's through his word, whether it's through prayer, our job is obedience and his job is outcome. So yeah, sometimes God could use an angel to direct your steps and make a proclamation to you. And sometimes it's that still small, quiet voice. However it gets to you, our job is obedience. And then number seven, angels rescue and deliver. Acts chapter 12, Peter is chained between two soldiers. I love this story so much. And the church starts praying. And then suddenly a bright light fills the cell. The angel taps Peter on the side and says, "Hey, get up, get up." The chains fall off, the doors open, and Peter walks free. Why? When the people of God pray, heaven moves. Here's what you need to know. Prayer invites angelic activity. Prayer invites angelic activity. You need things to happen in your world. You need God to move. You need situations to change. Prayer invites angelic activity. See, again, we think, "Oh, well, I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to wait for it all to work out this very particular way." What we don't see is that when we pray, there are angels being dispatched. There's, you know, fights happening. There's warfare going on. And we press through, we persevere when we pray. So come on, you got a roadblock in your life today, pray. You have a situation that you need a turnaround in, pray. You have a crisis you need God to intervene in, pray. It invites angelic activity. But when you pray, don't just think it's just you. Understand what's happening in the spirit realm. Understand all that God is doing in context to your prayers. All right, I know we got to move quick today. Number eight, angels strengthen believers. In Luke 22, Jesus in Gethsemane is strengthened by an angel. In Daniel 10, Daniel says, "My strength is gone." And the angel touches him and restores strength. So come on, because some of you feel weary. Some of you are running on empty. What do? You ask the Lord for supernatural strength. And he knows how to send you exactly what you need. So number nine, angels escort the saints. Luke 16 says the beggar died and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. Matthew 24 says, angels gather the elect from the four winds. So even in death, believers are not alone. Your final journey is an escorted flight into the presence of Jesus. I've heard that from so many people who have been with their loved ones around their bedside. And you can almost feel that angelic activity, the angelic visitation when that person passes from death to life. I remember somebody in my family who was coming to the end of their life, and it was about a week before they passed. And I sat beside him, was talking, and I said, you know, what do you think's going on? And they said, God's been showing me, and they pointed up, showing me some things. I've been seeing some angels. I've been really seeing, like, it's like God begins to lift that blinder, pull back the curtain, if you will, and expose what's really happening. Let them see into that angelic realm. Let them see into that supernatural realm. Well, I think it gives them peace to know that, listen, all we've been believing for, it's real, it's there. You're not alone. God's got you in this. But that's an assignment of the angels. And number 10, angels execute judgment. Acts chapter 12, King Herod accepts worship as a god. And guess what? An angel strikes him down. Matthew 13 says, angels will separate the wicked from the righteous. Revelation 16 shows angels pouring out bowls of judgment at the end of the age. Listen, God is merciful, but he's also just. And angels enforce his holiness. So lastly, in this list of 11, angels sometimes appear without being recognized. Angels sometimes appear without being recognized. Hebrews 13 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have entertained angels without knowing it. Consider that for a moment. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some have entertained angels without knowing it. Whenever I read that verse, I think of a situation when we were little. My mom and myself and my sister were in a vehicle with a gentleman, and suddenly this guy turned really violent and started, you know, punching and screaming, and it was a pretty intense situation, and pulled off to the side of the road. We all jump out, and this guy's coming towards us, and suddenly we had this little dog, and the dog jumped out of the car and started running. This man pulls up in a white van with white hair in a full white suit carrying our little dog. Now, maybe it was coincidence. Maybe it was just the guy had an obsession with white. I don't know. But I remember he pulls up behind us, and as this guy who was turning violent is approaching, really my mother at that moment, this guy pulls up holding the dog and says, do you need anything? Are you okay? And instantly it just shut this violent guy down, and he backed up. Oh, no, we'll fine. And so the guy in all white looks over at my mom. Are you sure you're okay? And he stayed with us for a minute until the threat had left. And I don't know, I always look back on that situation. Again, maybe it was coincidence. Maybe it's a guy obsessed with white. I don't know. But I always look at that. That could have been a very dangerous moment. And somehow a guy in all white intervenes and saves the day. And I always think of that. Maybe not. You know, maybe not. But sometimes I think God sends angels in the form of people. A, to test, you know, are we kind? Are we generous? Are we open-hearted? You know, or to bring protection. So the stranger you serve might be heaven's messenger on assignment. That's why, again, this whole teaching on angels and demons, it's meant to help us realize that we're not in a world on our own. And there's crossover there, right? So you know, the person at the grocery store, the person sitting on the curb, the person we walk by could very well be an angel on assignment to see how we will respond. So let's bring all of this home throughout scripture. Angels are never the heroes. Let's understand that God is. Their presence points to his power alone. Their actions point to his plan. And their purpose points to his Son. So how do we live wisely in a world alive with unseen activity? Well, first, we cultivate a God-aware mindset. Each morning, acknowledge the unseen realm. Pray, Father, thank you that you are with me. guide or guard my home, excuse me, surround my family. Let your angels encamp around us. We never take a family trip without stopping and we all pray together in the car. Lord, we thank you that you protect us and guide us. We thank you there are angels around this vehicle, keeping us safe and protected. This isn't superstition. This isn't, well, let's just say the three magic words and hang our little cross from the mirror and we're going to be okay. No, it's scripture. It's scripture. We are praying. We're proclaiming the word of God. And what happens? He sends his angels encamped around us. And then second, we fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. Remember, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So listen, hear me on this. Your spouse is not the enemy. Some of you just turned your computer or your phones down real quick because your spouse is in the room. Listen, your coworker isn't the enemy. That person on social media, that man is just rubbing you the wrong way, is not the enemy, right? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but what do? We put on the armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. And when we begin to pray, angels move. Why? Because we fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. When we declare the word, demons flee. When you stand firm, heaven stands with you. You know, beginning of this year, the Lord was really just working through me, and we talked a lot about it here on the lives, but different natural elements that are spiritual warfare, because, you know, sometimes smiling can be spiritual warfare. Joy is spiritual warfare. Sometimes holding your peace is spiritual warfare. Why? Because the strategy of the enemy is to get you to fight in the natural realm, right? Thinking that that person is your enemy, thinking that that, you know, job is your enemy, whatever is your enemy, but not understanding that it's really a spiritual battle happening in the spiritual world. So sometimes when we hold our ground in the natural world, we're saying, no, Satan, you're not going to take my joy. You're not going to take my peace. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to worship. I'm going to show the love of God, but I'm going to fight in the spirit world. I'm going to declare the word of God. I'm going to pray, but in the natural, I will not be moved. I will stand firm. And when we do, heaven stands with us. So what am I saying? Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is learn how to strengthen our emotions, not let our emotions get the best of us, hold our ground, stand firm, declare the word of God in the spirit, and fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. I know your flesh wants to call them up and say, listen, blah, 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 right? I get the desire. Trust me, I get the desire. But that's fighting spiritual battles in natural ways. Again, we be a doormat for people and let people walk all over us. That's certainly not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but before I would ever even encounter somebody in the natural of saying, hey, you know, I really feel like you've been taking advantage of me, or yet having to take that stand, I would first be waging warfare in the supernatural, in the spirit, be binding those spirits, be standing in faith, be declaring the word of God over that situation. And if there's not a change, then again, sometimes you have to come in the natural and say, listen, I got to put some healthy boundaries. I have to, you know, I can't let you take advantage of me. You know, here's where I'm at. You understand, there's a mixed balance there. But what I'm saying is the enemy wants you to fight supernatural battles in the natural, with our tempers, with our words, telling people off. But listen, spiritual warfare in the natural looks like holding our peace, maintaining the joy of the Lord, not being moved, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And then when we get in that prayer closet, come on, there we do war. There we bind, there we loose, there we declare, there we decree, there we send angels, there, you know, there's where the warfare begins to happen. So always understand that. We fight spiritual battles in the spirit. The third, live in obedience and bold prayer, right? The book of Acts, angels often appeared while believers were doing two things. Number one, preaching Jesus, and number two, praying together. So listen, we don't need to chase the supernatural. Just obey Jesus, live in prayer, and the supernatural will find you. That's the best way I can describe it. Just obey Jesus, live in prayer, and the supernatural will find you. Trust me, it will find you for the good and the bad. It will find you. But come on, if you're fearful today, say out loud, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" If you're weary today, what do? We pray the word, "Lord, strengthen me as you strengthen Daniel and you strengthen Jesus." If you're facing a locked door today and you just can't get through, pray like the early church, "God, open a door that no one can shut, or shut a door that no one can open." See, friends, listen, angels are real, but even greater than angels is the God who commands them. He sees you. He knows that exactly what you're walking through. And he's faithful to send help when you need it the most. So again, this whole teaching that we've been on for several days of the supernatural and angels and demons is a part, you know, I like in October as we face these demonic times, you know, of October, to do something to bring enlightenment on that world. But it's to remind us of the unseen world and what's happening around us. Give us strength and encouragement to stand when all else is falling apart and down. We stand. We are not alone. You are not alone. You're not fighting alone. Maybe you've been fighting the warfare in the wrong way. Maybe you've been doing it in the natural. Maybe you've been looking at the actions of people and taking, you know, "Well, they rejected me, therefore that's who I am." No, that's the enemy using people to get you to see yourself a different way. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you alone are worthy. And today we again fix our eyes on you. We renounce all fear and superstition, and we welcome your truth regarding the supernatural. Father, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. We ask today that you would guard our homes, surround our families, encamp our vehicles, position your angels around us. Keep us safe. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Clothe us in the armor of God. Give us boldness to share Jesus and faith to pray big prayers. And we thank you, Lord, for the unseen help you've assigned to us. And for that, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, I hope you have been encouraged and blessed by this teaching that we've been doing on the unseen realm and angels and demons. And some people like it, some people hate it. but I encourage you to keep leaning in as we keep looking into this. We'll probably do this a little bit more next week. Oh, I love what Tanisha just put, Psalms 127. "I look to the hill from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Perfect scripture. Our help comes from the Lord. Amen. Well, thank you all. I'm just catching up on some of your all comments now. I didn't get to see them, but good morning, Haley and Lindsay and Tanisha. Thank you all for watching. Thanks for being a part of this program and helping us stay focused as we continue to bring the Word of God every day into your life and into your world. If you can, become that digital missionary. Like, comment, share, do all the things that you can do to help us take this program out. And again, we welcome all of our friends on the Pioneer Channel who are watching from around the world. Well, I pray that I will see you this weekend at Hope City Church. We have a reason to celebrate. This past weekend, we saw a record attendance for Hope City Church outside of a holiday service. So that's incredible. That's incredible of what God is doing there. And again, it's not about numbers. It's about people. As I've always been obsessed with church chairs, and people say, "Why?" Well, because a chair represents a person, right? It represents a life that can be changed and hear the good news and, you know, discover hope and have their whole world transformed in the presence of God by sitting right there. So we believe there's power in that. We believe there's power when God's people come together. And so we're obsessed with getting everybody to hear the good news of the gospel, the message of the gospel. So it's been incredible watching what God has done since we've launched two services. And watching that grow. Now, I did put out an email this week. If you Hope City people are watching, what's been interesting is the first service has been pretty full, and then the second service, not as much. Now, again, together we're having record attendance between the two, but I am asking for some of you to say, hey, I don't really have a preference. I just come when I come. You know, I don't have to be there at nine. For some of you to transfer over to the 11 o'clock service, just to help fill the void there a little bit and even some things out between the two services to make sure we have plenty of space for everyone. So anyway, I pray that I will see you this weekend at Hope City Church at 9 or 11. And if you're just an online watcher, then I will see you next Monday morning right here on Good Morning Live. So remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.